I mentioned to you earlier this morning that this is a very appropriate sugya with which to close, to climax the semester. The sugya of Chazaka is exceptionally fundamental. It's going to be so helpful moving forward, and so are we going to have the Masechtas. And just a couple of moments ago, I was held up in making it to Shir, in part because I was looking for some Svarim, in part because a fellow in the Beis Medrash stopped me to tell me that they just got to a sugya Eshel of Arer and Shir, which he remembered vividly. He had first come across when he was in Shir in the BMK for Yevamos. Mamash, the sugya of Rov and Chazak. So yes, you will find this to be an exceptionally useful tool in Ritchim going forward for many years. So once again, the Gemara and Daf Tes itself is intriguing. We began to really dissect it yesterday. The Gemara, indeed. The Gemara, again, Shmuel, let's recap and let's search forward. The Gemara had opened with a member of the Amora, Shmuel. Shmuel says that a shocher is obligated after the shechita to perform bedikas simanim, to visually examine the trachea and esophagus and to determine that indeed rov of the simanim have been shechutim. Gemara handles whether or not there's a source of the Mishnayos, but either way, that's the din, that's what Shmuel said. But the Gemara does open up, though, is that only din l'chatchilu, is even din b'diavad. Let's say, lo badak, I was supposed to do b'dikas simanim, I didn't. I forgot, I was negligent, I couldn't, there was a fire, whatever it is. Whether I did the avera, if I was negligent, so then I have to do tshuva for not doing b'dikas simanim. Okay. But be that as it may, Lamaisa, now I've lost the opportunity to be a simanim. I no longer have access to the simanim, but I have the rest of the animal. Is the animal kosher? The animal not kosher? As we said yesterday, we would have imagined the Gemara would either say, it's fine, l'chadchil, you're obligated to the chiv l'chadchil to do b'dikas simanim, but it doesn't make it aser b'dieved. We could have imagined that. It's a row, most likely it is kosher. Say, l'chadchil, if you can't, the animal's still kosher. Or we could have imagined option two. Say, no, it is a very significant suffix. And if you did not do Badika, you do not have the right to assume that the Shechita was appropriate. We are concerned the possibility that it was only Miut Simanim, and therefore the animal did not undergo a proper Shechita. It's an Avela, Aser, Tamim. The Gemara does not at first seem to mention option one at all. The Gemara mentions option two and option three. Maybe it is an Avela, or maybe it's a Trefa. A Trefa. Definitely not a Trefa. We're worried about whether it's an Avela now. We're worried about whether it's a proper Shechita. So the Gemara points out, this Machloka, whether it's an Avela or Trefa, really means, do we consider it to be fully a Suffolk Nevela? That Misafik has a Cheske. Rav Huna told us that Ben Bechaye, the first half of Rav Huna, the half that's relevant to this Sugya, Ben Bechaye, the Cheske, Sisur Medes, Achi, Vaducha, Ben Neshchata. That an animal, while it's alive, is aser to eat, and therefore has a... If there's a suffix, whether it died with a shechita or without a shechita, so it's bechezkas iser. 5 minutes ago when it was alive, it was aser. Now I don't know whether it died with a shechita or without a shechita, so a bechezkas iser. Now before even... And then the Gemara says, okay, everyone involved here accepts Rav Huna, that there is a cheskas iser on a suffix shchuta. The question is, does that cheskas iser only generate an iser? Does it even generate tuma? Because after all, if the animal dies without shchita, it's a nevela, and it's both aser and tummy. But a live animal, you're not allowed to eat a live animal, but a live animal is not tummy. So, the Gemara says, the machlokes, Reb Elezer ben Tignis, and the Braisa, whether it's only aser in a case of lav badak, or it's both aser and tame, is a question of do we say the cheskas, there's a cheskas iser, and after all it's dead, and therefore obviously if it's in the veil then it's both, or no, is the cheskas iser without a cheskas tuma? So two problems. One problem in the end of the sugya is how you understand the shita Reb Elezer b'shem Reb Elezer. What do you mean? Is the cheskas iser not cheskas tuma? If you're concerned that, that they didn't have proper shita, then it's both aser and tameh. If you're not concerned about the quality of the shechita, then it's neither tameh nor aser. How do you split it? The Tosas had said, no, don't worry, it's all midrabanan. Then I told her it's really mutter. The whole thing is the chumra midrabanan, they only impose the chumra level of for isra, not for tumah. So that array sort of takes the question off the table. We can explain, we said yesterday you can explain a little more. If you understand that why would Chazal split it? So maybe if the reason why they made this isra midrabanan was a kenas, because to make sure that you do a bedika, so they said, if you don't do bedika, you're going to pay for it. That they didn't have to impose Tumah too. It's enough to say it's awesome. Okay. Or there could be some other explanation. But either way, Tosa says, Me'atorot Mutter, option one. Mikra did option one. Row over the time, the Shechita is done properly. The Kampen Shochet usually Shechts Row Siman. So the row indicates that this is kosher. The whole, the fact that it's awesome is only Mijabaman, they impose an Isser not Tumah. Rashi didn't say that. Rashi had said, no. It's not an overlay midrabanan. This is the fundamental din. There's a cheskas isra, no cheskas tuma. Why? Because yesterday, when it was alive, it was asr but not tame. That's the way it always is with live animals. Therefore, today, cheskas isra, no cheskas tuma. Problem being, but yesterday it was alive. Now it's dead. Dead animals can't. Either it's an avelos or shruta. Either it's both asr and tame, or neither asr nor tame. So. You're applying the chazakas, but it's not a factual option. We're not sure whether it's an avela or not an avela, but there's no option that's in between. And earlier in the sugya, so that's the machlokas Rashi and Tosas here in Chulin. Both Rashi and Tosas are in Dav Tes Tamlach. Early in the sugya, in terms of Rav Huna himself, before the Gemara begins to figure out how Rav Huna applies in this case, in terms of just the core Rav Huna, Behema Dechayeha, the Cheskas Isra Medes, there already there had been a problem. Rashi had said, the Cheskas Isra, what's the Isra? Why, it wasn't kosher when it was alive. Why was it not kosher when it was alive? Rashi says, of course you're not allowed to eat that. Everyone knows you're not allowed to eat live animals. Eivor Menachat. And what was Tosas Kasha here in Chulun? Nothing. Tosas doesn't tell that in Chulun. But, Mesarash Shas tells you, we'll look in Beitza and elsewhere, Tosas does talk about it. And what does Tosas say? Beitza daf kafei mal. It could be a dry machlokes we've shown him. The Magen Avraham discusses in our time whether you say bey or beitza. There are those who point out Rabbi Moshe Yagid, Rabbi in our yeshiva for many many decades, pointed out that Rabbi Chananel clearly said beitza. He didn't use a euphemism because at the beginning of Pirshei Rabbi Chananel on Maseches Beitza, he has a two line poem, a couplet. It goes something like Be'ezer Gadol Ha'etza Aschel Lefarish Meseches Beitza. So if you're assuming they're rhyming, clearly, if you're assuming Beitza rhymes with Eitza. Anyhow, Be'ah with an ayin is the Aramaic. And the Aramaic for Beitza, that's the machlokas, which is more appropriate. The Cheskas Isra Medes, here, Daf Chafei Amaral, what do you want to call the Mesechta? But Meseches Yom Tov, as many of you show them just describe it. Stop chafei and alpha seches beitza. So Tosa says the cheskes. Easter Rashi is even achad. And Tosa said, "How could it be? You saw this insane. How could it be? Lo nihira. Lama li achi v'glafamen yeshchata. I see it's dead. Why do I care whether there's a shechita or not? If the only concern is it's the cheskes even achai, Tosa says it's definitely not even achai anymore. It may be an avail, it may be a shechuta, but it's definitely not even achai. The shaykh might say even achai. Even achai lo shaykh l'mechaim." That's what Tosas says. You have to posit a new Isser. It's not the Isser Lav of Avram Nachai, which stopped when the animal died, whether it died with a Shechita or without a Shechita, nor it's only the Isser Nevela, which may have begun after it died, but it was not an Nevela for sure while it was alive. There's a third Isser. This we discussed earlier at the beginning of the year. Tosas here assumes that they do elsewhere, that there's another Isser, an Isser Aseh. The Isser Lav of Avram Nachai is only Mechaim. The Isra Lav Nevela is only applicable when it's dead. But the Isra of Eino Zavuach, the Torah says, you should do Shechita, Tizbach V'Achalta, or V'Zavachta Kasher Tzivisicha, different psukim. The Torah says, you should do Shechita, and then you can eat it. So we discussed earlier in the year, Machlokes Rishonim, what does that mean? Is that just a statement, that is a reference to Dinim, or do you see that as an Isra Aseh? It's actually a new mitzvah. It's not a law. The Torah doesn't say don't. It says do. It says do shechta and eat. So that's a way of saying an Isser, backhandedly, an Isser Aseh. Or we spent some time at the beginning of the year, the Rambam seems to hold that it's a kiyum aseh. You actually fulfill a mitzvah by shechting and eating. Okay, that we discussed earlier in the year. But this Tosfos is assuming it's an isra aseh. There's another isra, the isra of rechai, only mechaim, isra in nevela, only once it's dead. And then there's an isra aseh of eno zavuach that every live animal has, and the isra persists, the isra continues beyond the life of the animal if the animal dies without proper shechita. If you give it a shechita, so then the isra eno zavuach stops. But if it dies without proper shechita, so it stops being eiv nechai, starts being nevela, and continues being eno zavuach. You don't get malchus for it because it's a aseh, but it's an isra aseh. That's what Tosa says. Isra she'eno zavuach, that's something that could have persisted. That's something, it was definitely eno zavuach while it was alive, and we're not sure, we know it's not eiv nechai, but it might still be eno zavuach. So that's what Tosa says. It's becheskas, Eino, Zavuah, Tos, the last line, Tos points out, this solves other problems, because Rashi is assuming that a live animal is Avram and Achai. Now, Tos points out, that's actually a sugya later in Chulin, deep into Masechet Chulin. Is Avram and Achai only once you sever the animal from the live organism, or even while all the limbs are attached, they are already Avram and Achai? Not much of an afkamina, because in order to eat it, obviously has to be severed. By your hands or by your teeth, but it has various abstract nafkinas. In its chalaser and postpone that here. Tosa says, you can only say it's becheskas Avram Nachai if it was Avram Nachai while it was alive. Tosa points out, but that's the Gemara Shaila. Is a live animal with all limbs connected to Avram Nachai, or Avram Nachai only begins once you sever a limb? Tosa says, there are two problems with Rashi. Number one, he's assuming that the live animal connected is Avram Nachai, and that's a debate in Maseches Chulin, not so pashut. And fundamentally, the problem we've been bothered by, how could you say it's Becheskas, Eiver Min Achai? It's definitely no longer Eiver Min Achai. Now, so that's a problem. But definitely not Eiver Min Achai. Again, like we said, like we were told about this morning, you know, the Mishnah in Yevamos talks about Becheskas Panuya. I had a girl who was single, and then her fiancé tosses a ring to her, and we're not sure how close it fell. If it fell close enough, she's mikudeshes. If it fell too far away, she's not mikudeshes. What about if it's a suffix? So suffix mikudeshes. So we might follow, one could argue, we'd follow chazaka in that case. Chazkas put it, I'm not sure if she became mikudeshes or not. 5 minutes ago, before he tossed the ring, she was single. So maybe chazaka tells me she's still single. Why? Because it's a suffix, whether she's single or married now. So if it's a suffix, I can talk about chazaka. But if Aidim witnessed a valid Maisa Kiddushin, normal, under the chuppah, the chasna put the ring directly onto the kala's finger. The Aidim were watching. Everything was kedas or kedin. So then we're not going to say she's bechezkas penuya. She's vada yeshazish. I know that 5 minutes ago, before the giving of the ring, she was a penuya. But I know for sure that it changed. Chazak is only relevant when I'm not sure. So that's the assumption. Tosus is kasha. I mean, chezkas, Aidim and Achai. It's definitely not a Nechai. The animal's dead. So what does the Rajva respond? Rajva and Arsuk, yeah? How does the Rajva respond to Tosfos? Let's take a look. You definitely have the Rajva in front of you. The Hem Bechayeh Becheskas Yisrael Medas. This is the Rajva we saw at the beginning of the year from the Mitzvah Shechita perspective. The Hem Bechayeh Becheskas Yisrael Medas. When the animal is alive, it's becheskas aser kilomar. What does kilomar mean? Literally, it means to say. And kilomar usually, particularly in Rashi and the Ritva, here perhaps in the Rajva as well, kilomar is usually used to introduce a non-literal or inobvious interpretation of the text. What this means to say is that it's not exactly what you've expected. Kalomar, the cheskas iser she'eno zavucha medes. When the cheskas iser means this iser of eno zavucha. Why is that so inobvious? Probably because we've never heard of this iser before. This is the Gemara that indicates that there's an iser of eno zavucha. Because otherwise, how you understand the notion that there's a chazaka for when it's alive, when it's dead. Rachman ha'amr b'zavachta v'achalta. Shalo tochal basar, and then came nishata yafe. You're not allowed to eat the meat unless it has already undergone a Nishchata yafe, it was shechted properly, meaning b'shnayim or b'rov shnayim. If it's an animal, you have to either have severed both simanim, the trachea of the esophagus, the conversation, or at least rov of each of them. Uba'ov, Be'echad or Beruba, one of the two simanim, or Rov, one of the two simanim. As we know, the Mishnah Daf Chav Ches Amrav. The Atzal knows the Lachashi Yatzisa Midei Sura B'Shchita Mal Yasa. Until you determine, until you know for certain that that Isra stopped, how that Isra and Zivulach stopped through a Shchita Mal Yasa, a proper Shchita. So until you know that, the Isura Omedes, it remains Atzal. It remains presumed to be in Zivulach. Until I can prove to you that the Isra stopped, because I can prove to you there was a proper Shechita. So that's why, if I didn't check Simanim, I don't know whether he shechted Rov Simanim or me of Simanim. So then, it's Becheskas Isra. Becheskas Isra, which, Rashba said, Becheskas Eino Zavua. Who's Rashba following at this point? Thanks. Good.
Mirror.
And you cannot say that it's Becheskas Eino Zavua. Who said that? Rashi, you can't say like Rashi. Why? It came to the Nishchata, once you shechted it, Bein Shechita Mal Yasa, Bein Shechita Zmiyat Simanim, whether it was a proper Shechita that severed Rov HaSimanim or Kol HaSimanim, or it was not a proper Shechita, Shechita Zmiyat Simanim. The Shochet tried, but he failed. Even if he failed to cut through Rov Simanim, which is what you're checking for when you do B'dikas Simanim, Hare Yatzah Allah, Nisar Ebn Achai. Either way, it's dead. It might not be Shechit, but it's definitely dead, that we can directly observe. But it's not Avram Nachai. Right? So that's Tosis's Kasha and Rashi. Niu, ain't no Kasha Kalkah. And this is, again, class, you'll find it often. Sometimes Rishonim will quote each other, sometimes they'll just say. And you have to connect the dots. And if you have the fancy part of the useful, the added utility of the Masada of Cook Rishonim, or the other Rishonim with footnotes, is they'll tell you, if you're looking at a Masada of Cook Rashi, they'll tell you. Kaf kaf, kaf kasatosis, kain hikshatosis, kain pierz Rashi. They'll give you all the ma'amakamas. We already learned from Rashi and Tosis. Now we look at the Rashi, we know to whom he's referring. He says, I would say pshat like Tosis, Rashi's very sure, because of Tosis, Kasha and Rashi. But then he says, well, the Rashi has a change of heart. He says, yeah, that's your starting point. Your starting point is Tosis. Tosis says, Rashi shver, here's my pshat. Miyu eno kasha kol kaf. On the other hand, that's so shver. Interesting language. Eino kasha kol kach. It is shver, but it's not so shver. That could be wrong. De'ev shalomar, what you possibly could say, it sounds like the eino kasha kol kach, you're getting the feeling, he's not convincing. What I'm about to say is a little bit dachuk. It may not be the smoothest, but maybe you could defend Rashi. Maybe it's not so bad. It's a little shver. Maybe it's not so shver. What could I say, albeit somewhat dahav? The chayvan the meikar becheskas iser evan achai omedes. It was originally becheskas evan achai. The achshav lo namidol nizbar mishachata kahogen. I know it's dead, but I don't know whether it was shechted kahogen properly. Wow, of course, this Rashba we saw many different terms for properly. We saw yafe, we saw maliasa, kahogen. Harehu muchzakes, since it was evan achai. And it might not have had a proper shechita. Hayrehi muchzakas meisur leisur. So it's muchzak from one isur to another isur. As the Rashba says, of course, Tosis asked on Rashi. If you read Tosis inside, and you read the Rashba inside, the kasha, official kasha Rashi was: how can you say it's not still becheskas evrim nachai? It's clearly not evrim nachai. If a girl had a vaday kedusha, I'm not going to say she's becheskas pnuya. She's clearly not a pnuya. So if here I have the status definitely changed. It's definitely not Eivron Achai. The Rashi says, you're right. Of course it's not. Rashi didn't mean it's Eivron Achai. He just meant, since it was Eivron Achai yesterday, it was becheskas Eivron Achai up until the point that it died. When it died, it stopped in Eivron Achai, but may have begun to become nevela. So I can machzik me iser l'iser. Echeskas. If it had Cheskas Eivron Achai, that could translate, that could transform into Cheskas Neveil. Machzikin, this is what usually the term is, Machzikin Me Isser Le Isser. The Rashba is suggesting that Rashi holds Machzikin Me Isser Le Isser. You want another marker? That's an important phrase. Machzikin Me Isser Le Isser. You can have a Chazakar from one Isser to another Isser. Yes, there was Eivron Achai. So now it's definitely Eivron Achai, but Safek Neveila. There was no break in the action. The moment it stopped being Eivron Achai, it immediately became Safek Neveila. right? Because if it darved out proper shechita, it went straight from one to the next. So the iser, the chazaka could transform, or maybe say it could transmute. Right? Look at it, what type of alchemy is this? Nachzikim iser, so what was one do the other? It was Eiv Menachai, but it's definitely no longer Eiv Menachai. Well, maybe the chazaka could switch from the cheskas Eiv Menachai to cheskas Neveil. Why? If you look at this Rajba, that's what I mentioned this morning. If you look at this Rajba, if you don't think it through carefully, it sounds like he had a kasha, and he said, the answer is, I have a name for that. It's not just a Shrei Rashi, it's a Shita. Machzikim Yisrael Isser. Well, how does that make anything any better? We still have the same problem. Now, you look at this Rajba and you wonder, if you're thinking it through, what do you mean? Machzikim Yisrael Isser. But that's the problem. But how does one become the other? What does one have to do with the other? So, a number of fellows suggested during Seder, and David really said it most sharply. If you read Rashi, if you go back to that long Rashi, on Ar Amud, on Daf Tes and Aleph, and Chulin, Rashi sounds like he's saying, it was Becheskas Aser. So, it's still Becheskas Aser. Forget about Eiv Menachai. He says, you look back at Rashi, Dibra Masel, Behema Bechaya. Behema Bechaya Becheskas Iser. It's Becheskas Iser. Why? Sharei Asur Mishum Eiv Menachai. Because it was, while alive, Aser, based on Eiv Menachai. He doesn't say it was Becheskas Eiv Menachai. It's Becheskas Iser. That was the language of the Gemara. Why was it Becheskas Iser? Because at the time, it happened to be Aser Mishum Eiv Menachai. So there was Becheskas Iser, and then he goes on to say, he gives you his background on a chazak in general, that parenthetical note, and then he says in the second wider line, Nimseisa Omer Shebehem Azu Asura Shere Becheskas Iser Haisa Mitchila Umisafik Atabad Lahatira. It was Becheskas Iser, it was originally Aser, so it's Becheskas Iser. He never says Becheskas Eiver Menachai. It's just Becheskas Iser. Chazaka just about the fact that it's Aser, for whatever reason or another. So yesterday, while I was alive, it was Aser because of Eiv Menachai. So if I had the proper Shechita, so that I know it's not Aser anymore, so there's nothing to tell in terms of Chazaka. But if I'm not sure whether it remained Aser, not for the same reason, but maybe with the moment that the Shechita was done, it was an improper Shechita, so it switched at that moment from Eiv Menachai to Nevela, but remained Aser, to Cheskas Iser. In other words, you read Rashi, that's what David pointed out. Some other guys were, I think, angry at this also. That maybe what this machzik in Me'isr Isser means is that Gavi was saying this yesterday during Seder. Maybe machzik in Me'isr Isser means is that it's not really cheskas Eiv Menachai. It's just cheskas Aser. Forget about the details. Cheskas Aser. Just the overall status. Aser. So, okay. Yesterday was definitely Aser. Today it might still be Aser, or it might have become Mutter. Okay, so the Cheskas Iser. Forget about the details. Yeah.
Then why does the fact that it was Aser make it more? Likely
Then the question is: now clearly Tosfos disagrees with this, right? Tosfos disagrees with the Machzikim Iser, and Tosfos disagrees with the notion that Chazaka is just about an overall status. Right? Tosfos is pretty clear that no, it's Cheskas Iser X. It has to be chazaka. Well, what you're suggesting is that when the Rashba says machazikim yisrael, and Tosfos says ain machazikim yisrael, what's really going on, if you dig deeper, is chazaka about a specific fact pattern? It's chazaka just like the status. It was aser. It's chazaka being aser for some reason or another. So if it's chazaka being aser, forget about the details. Forget about the why. Okay, so then machazikim yisrael. What do I care about the details? It was Aser. It might still be Aser. It used to definitely be Aser. Maybe it's still Aser. Chazaka. Tosfos, I clearly disagree. Tosfos says, no. You're Cheskas Eiv Menachai. It's not Eiv Menachai any longer. So, it sounds like that's what they're debating. Now, the Rashba is giving us terminology and naming the phenomenon. Can the Chazaka jump from one Isser to another Isser? And what sounds like it is Chazaka is about us. Overall status, regardless of the reason, just description without explanation. It's Aser, it was Aser, it still might be Aser. Rashi, Machzik Me'isr Isser, or Tosfos. Now, the Chazaka was that it was Eiv Menachai. is it still a melacha? That sounds like what's going on here. It definitely sounds like what's going on here. Now the question is, does this help us? Does it not help us? Okay, so we begin to understand a little bit, but the question, right, as Moshe said, is, well, but aren't we still sort of begging the question? Like, but why is it, why would it make sense? What would be the logic in saying that, well, it was usher yesterday, so we'll assume it's still usher today for some other reason? Why? How? What? Shaykhus. No, as I understand, it was usher yesterday, it might still be usher, but what does one have to do with the other? How does the fact that it was usher yesterday for one reason make it more likely to be usher today for a totally unrelated reason?
Like, because if it became mutter, then you would say the same thing about that. You say, oh, it was mutter before, so now it's going to be mutter, even though you're not sure you check it out.
Well, it was usher yesterday. And Rashi says it was usher yesterday because of Eva Menachai.
I think it's easier to say that since it was mutter, it still is mutter. But it's also the opposite direction.
We could have said it's a suffix. We could have said we have no chazaka. It's a suffix. We didn't say that. They said we have no chazaka. We have a chazaka. Rav Huna says we have a chazaka. What's the chazaka? So Rashi thinks, well, because yesterday was Eiv Menachai, therefore it's Becheskas not shochet properly. Mayin Shmita Etzar Sinai. So Rashi says, oh, Machzik Mislissa. The fact that it was Eiv Menachai yesterday gives me a Cheskas Nevela. How does that happen? So what some of you are suggesting is not the Cheskas Nevela, it was Aser yesterday, for whatever reason, therefore the Cheskas Aser today, for whatever reason. The reasons, the explanations are irrelevant to Chazaka, just description, just what it is. The question is right, like, what? Since when does Halacha work that way? There are reasons for things. Yeah, it's Aser. We don't care why. It's Aser because it's Aser. What is or isn't? I understand. If I eat it today, right? I did not do Bedika Simanim. Again, the Gemara is clear that if I did not do Bedika Simanim, I am not allowed to eat the meat. That everyone agrees to. All the Amoraim, all the Tanam, all the Rishonim. We can discuss why, but everyone agrees it's us to eat. Right? Let's say I did eat it. What aver did I do? So Tosus would say, well, you violate Enos Zavuach. What would Rashi say? You're not allowed to eat it. Why? Because Becheskas Isser. Becheskas what Isser? What Isser did I do? You are not violating the veil, you are not violating Eiv Menachai. That's not Eiv Menachai. Well, Usser. Usser means Kusafik Nevela. So then you're saying Kusafik Nevela. So how did Eiv Menachai yesterday make Kusafik Nevela today? So, We're seeing something. We're seeing that chazaka is a fascinating phenomenon, and it works a little differently than you expect. But that's not a stopping point. That's a starting point. Now, so what is it? How does chazaka work? That this pattern of dinim makes good sense. We're going to see next time. We're not done just yet. We're going to see next time, and you'll have a chance to see next time in Seder, a fascinating Mishnah in Taharas, another case where Chazaka seems to be absolutely counterfactual, absolutely illogical. Chazaka doesn't correspond to facts at all. So we have to figure out what's going on. Now to figure out what's going on, how many of you... How many of you had a chance to see the Gemara in Chulin Daf Yud Amud Beis? Okay. How many of you had a chance to see the Gemara in Chulin Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph? Okay. Wow. Fantastic. So we're going to dive into that more thoroughly next time, Ritz Hashem. Chulin Yud Amud Beis is the makor for Chazaka, this whole concept of Chazaka in the Akar. After another blot and half, the Gemara says, by the way, we've been talking about Chazaka back and forth. Where does it come from? Where in Chumash does it say that if you're not sure what the story is now, you're going to work with the previous status quo? And the Gemara Daf Yud Amud Beis gives a makor for it. And then the very next Gemara, Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, says, and by the way, Rove, following the Rove, where does that come from? And the Gemara we'll see next time, no one points out there's fundamentally two different types of Roves, and they make up for two different types of Sukkah. We need to jump into that. And then, which the next time we're going to talk about, and what do you and Rov and Chazaka collide? But for now, and then we have to make sense of that, and we're going to put all of that, Rov, Chazaka, and Ruba Vachazaka, Gemara and Kiddushin, what do you do when you have a Rov versus Chazaka, who wins, who loses? We're going to put all of that in the context of what we're going to end with right now, which is a brief peek, a preliminary peek at that Mishnah. A Mishnah in Maseches Taharos that presents, for now we'll just look at it and marvel. Perhaps with our mouths agape. We'll come back, Mishnah, next time, once we've seen Rov, Chazaka, and the din of Ruba Chazaka, then with all that perspective, we'll look at this Mishnah. It will initially be even more difficult to understand, and ultimately will be more harmonious. But for now, let's just take a look. Maseches Taharos. Yes, there is a Seder Taharos. Within Seder Taharos, which has over 10 Masechtas, one of those Masechtas, I believe 12 Masechtas, I think, in Seder Taharos. Yeah, check. One of those Masechtas is Maseches Taharos. Huh? Sorry? 12. So the Rambam thing points out in Perush HaMishnayos that it's, it's odd from a perspective we would call set theory to say that there's a category and one member of the category is the same name as the whole category. And the whole category of Masechtas is called Seder Taharos. One of those Masechtas is Maseches Taharos. Okay, Kachas. Maseches Taharos is a lot of many of the more abstract issues in Seder Taharos, but Safek and other issues. Perek Hei Mishnah Hei. This is a Mishnah which is called Maseches Ksubas, indicated in the Maram Mekomos. Gemara quotes it. The bottom of Chav Zayin and Alpha Maseches Ksubas. We'll come back to that because the Tosfos there, Ksubas Chav Zayin, comments on this Mishnah. Important comment. Subtle and important comment. The Mishnah talks about the following scenario. Shnei Shevilim. Right now we just take a look at this just to whet our appetite for to understand the need to understand what is going on with Chazaka Demekar. It's a Gemara. The Gemara referenced it here in many places in Shas. Gemara, another blot and a half, Yudon Bey says we have a makkah from Psukim and Chumash Vayikra that Chazaka works. But what? How do we understand it? What's the engine that's driving that could create such unusual characteristics? If you're not surprised enough by what we saw, two striking approaches of Rashi to Chazaka and Tesam Aleph, take a look at this. Shnei Shvilin, Echa Tani, Echa Tar. There are two roads from point A to point B. There are two roads from point A to point B. I can either take Amsterdam, I can take Audubon. Or let's give an even better example. There's a town, and there's a Beis HaKvaris outside of the town. The Beis HaKvaris is a half a mile outside of town. And there are two roads that get you could take to go from the town to the cemetery, to the Beis HaKvaris. Echa Tameh ve'echa Tar. One of these roads is Tameh, the other road is Tar. What does that mean? How is a road Tameh? What that means is, right, there was a body that was buried across the width of one of these two roads. You can imagine, in this example that I gave, there was a snowy Friday afternoon. They were trying to bury the mace, and it was a blizzard, a sudden blizzard, and it was dangerous to stay there. There was no way they were going to make the mace HaKvaris. They just had to bury the mace on the spot, whether that's correct or incorrect, or pay halacha for a different time. But that's what they did, and then they somehow made their way back to safety. And then they're trying to figure out a few days later when all the snow melts, so where exactly do we bury the mace? We're not even sure. Everything was so confusing, not the fog of war, but the fog of the blizzard. We're not even sure which road we took. We definitely took one of these. We would go on the way to the Beis HaKvaris. So we took either road A or road B. So there is definitely a mace buried either across the width of road A or across the width of road B. So either someone who walks down road A becomes Tameh, Tumas Ohel for the mace, or one who walks down road B becomes Tameh by walking over the mace. But we're not sure which one. This is the case, the Shnei Shvilin, the two pathways. Holach ve'echem hem ve'asataris. So what's it then? A fellow walks down, I walk down road A. I know which road I'm walking down. I know I walk down road A. We're not sure, is road A Tameh, is road B Tameh. But I walk down road A. And then I make a sandwich out of tahar food. Now we're not sure, but if I'm tameh, I just made the food tameh, the sandwich tameh. And then Bach Adero, a second fellow comes along, Halach B'Sheni, he walks on road B, Va'asa Taras, and he makes dessert from tahar ingredients, but maybe he just made a tameh. Now I have the sandwich that Reuven made. He walked on road A before making the sandwich. I have the dessert that Shimon made after walking on road B. Right? So either Reuven is Tameh or Shimon is Tameh. Either the sandwich is Tameh or the dessert is Tameh. Right? One of them is definitely Tameh. One of them walked over a maze. We're just not sure which one. So the Tanoim discuss, is it possible? Take a look at Yehuda in particular. Nishalu shneim ke'echad. If they ask together, then they're tameh. But if they come separately, they're each tahar. Wow, wow. Now, so the Gemara explains. The Gemara explains, and Rav Kahati is kind enough to quote it, that the Gemara explains min haTorah they're tahar. They're both tahar. If they come together, it looks very strange to say you're both tahar, because obviously one of them is tameh. So we midrabanan, we tell them they're tameh, because otherwise they would create a chukha v'tlula. It would make Bezin look silly. But really they're both tahar. Why are they both tahar? Because each one is tahar based on what principle tells you they're tahar. I walk on road A. That man may have made me tameh. What tells me I'm still tar? Hazaka, right? I was definitely tar before I left town. I may not have become tameh. So Reuven has a cheskas tahara, and Shimon has a cheskas tahara. Right? That's true. They both were originally tar. Each one may not have become tameh. So the Mishnah says meikir adin. They're really both still tar. If I tell them together, you're both tahar, so that looks absurd. It sounds illogical, so we can't issue a psak that sounds illogical, because people will make fun. The question, of course, is, it doesn't just sound illogical.
It is illogical.
Why really it makes sense, just people might understand. And why does it really make sense? I don't understand. One of them is tameh. I don't know who, but I can't. How is it possible that both tahar? They're not both tahar. Someone is tameh here. The facts. There is a maze, either on the road A or road B. How is it possible? I'm telling you, it could have been they're both tar. Again, chazaka. And again, chazaka seems to be going places where logic could not take me. This is chazaka work to encapsulate what emerges from this Mishnah. Me'ikar adin, chazaka works b'makom tarti desafer. Even in a case where there's a logical contradiction, I can issue contradicting chazakas. Practically speaking, sometimes I can't because of the people who won't understand the logic of halacha, but apparently somehow, fundamentally, chazaka can work even in logical contradiction. Again, it's more the same. It's like, as I said before, the way chazaka works according to Rashi and Arsugi wasn't surprising enough. Look at this Mishnah! Chazaka makom tarti desasrei. How does that work? So we'll have to figure out if we dive into the sugya of chazaka b'chlal, hopefully all these pieces will begin to fall into beautiful, harmonious places.